This morning what we're doing is we are continuing our four-part series called Hope in the Dark, and we're talking about God's goodness in a life that is sometimes not so good, right? And it's based on a book. In case you're wondering, you're like, hey, I'd like to read a little bit further or play the home game, whatever. But it's based on Craig Rochelle's book of the same title, Hope in the Dark. And so last week what we did is we talked about not allowing the devil to use our pain to create a barrier between ourselves and God. Because isn't that a great opportunity? When we're in pain, it can cause a barrier between ourselves and God. And we can let our questions and we can let our doubts and our hurts either move us further from God or closer to God. And we have that choice. And when we're in pain and we're in doubt and we're hurting, we can actually move closer to God and experience Him in new ways, and closer to God than ever before. So today what I want to do is I want to focus a little bit more on the doubt. I don't know about you guys, but I grew up just loved watching TV. So I don't know about you guys. Like, who doesn't like to just watch TV once in a while? But I was kind of like, I grew up in TV land. That was sort of thing. My mom can tell you, I had a TV in my bedroom at an early age, and I liked to watch classic sitcoms. You know, Honeymooners. I loved to watch The Honeymooners. I was all about MASH and The Brady Bunch, The Flintstones, which is basically just a cartoon version of The Honeymooners. So I used to like to watch Happy Days, Seinfeld, Mad About You. I mean, they were all out there. Everybody Loves Raymond, you know. Deborah, you know, I just love watching those shows, and there were these 30-minute situation comedies. They made me laugh. They kind of provided this sort of escape from real life, but every one of them had one thing in common, and that was that whatever the problem, whatever the hardship, the struggles that the characters faced, it was all solved and neatly wrapped up in 30 minutes, right? With a few commercial breaks, you know. That was great. The unfortunate thing about that, though, is just that, like, life really doesn't work that way. That's not how life works out. Everything's not solved in 30 minutes. Everything isn't just wrapped up neatly once, you know, Bobby finds the key to whatever. It's just always something. And you know, life doesn't work. Ray and Deborah, they may be able to patch up their marriage in half an hour, but not me. half an hour is just the introduction as to why I'm upset with you, I think, sometimes, right? So, you know, and now I'm going to have to deal with that when I get home. So, you know, but real life isn't like that. Everything's not, you know, it doesn't work up. It doesn't work out that way. It doesn't, you know, wrap up that neatly. You know, Brady family, they get the flu. What happens? They're all good in a half an hour. You know, they all get the flu. They can't go on their boating excursion, whatever. They're all wrapped up in a half an hour. Just in our community, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a really, really great woman in our community named Amy Rowell who caught the flu and a week later passed away. You know, real life doesn't work out that way, where you get the sniffles and you sit in bed and, you know, maybe, you know, somebody brings home some NyQuil and you're all better. It just doesn't work out that way. And when we compare our lives to the characters in sitcoms, they can seem downright unfair, you know, just sometimes just brutal. You know, you ever feel like, man, life is brutal right now? We go through times when, you know, our house burns down, right? House burns down, and then the car breaks down, and it's just like it just all happens. Hot water heater goes out, kids get sick, somebody dies in your family. It's just like it can be brutal. And you know, maybe you've been through things when you feel like you know God has been unfair to you. And we talked a little bit about that last week. Because maybe we're in a painful situation, maybe we're in a stressful situation, and we're praying and just downright begging, you know, God, do something, God, make this right. And it seems like He's just up there turning a deaf ear. And we don't know what to do. So God must be unfair, right? So God must be, He must be indifferent at best, or maybe He's not even there, right? So we're going to close now and talk about that next week. Just kidding, I'm not sending you home on that note. But, you know, and we're in this painful situation, and you want this sitcom ending, but you got something that seemed to drag on forever. You got a soap opera ending instead, you know. And Wendy and I were talking about that because when she was a teenager, she used to watch a particular soap opera. And when we flipped it on not too long ago, that same soap opera, it was like same characters in the same situations. They still haven't wrapped them up, you know. And sometimes life feels more like a soap opera than a sitcom. And you have these issues that just never end. And, you know, maybe it's caused you to doubt that God was good. Maybe it's caused you to doubt that God cares, or, you know. All I know is that faith would be so much easier if life didn't get in the way. Wouldn't we all just have such, you know, just great faith and all just be happy and full of joy if life didn't get in the way? But how do we walk through feelings of doubt? How do we walk through feelings of unfairness? And let me just say, doubting and feeling like God is unfair, that's a natural thing. Just feeling those things just makes you normal, right? It doesn't make you a bad Christian. And we talked last week about how, you know, doubting doesn't put you on the outs with God. You know, God's not up there going, well, if you had a little more faith, maybe I'd touch your car that you haven't had the oil changed in 6 years. You know, maybe if you just had a little more faith, I'd heal your body that you've been punishing with fast food and lack of exercise for the last 25 years, right? That's right. You work over at a fast food place. Yeah. So, you know, that's not what God is doing. He's not mad at you for doubting. He's not mad at you for wondering. And how do we walk through those things? Is God abandoning us? Is he simply watching and waiting? And what should our response be in times like this? And I think that there's a healthy response that Scripture leads us to. And what should our response be in times like this? And so we're going to talk about that really quick. Let's pray, and then I want to read some Scripture to you. God, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you, God, that you are good. And Lord, we may not get our sitcom ending, but Lord, we know that you have something better for us. And so, God, I pray that you would allow your word to sink deep into our hearts today and take root and bring great fruit. Let it come alive in us and bring transformation. We come to your word for transformation today, God, not just information. And so we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to read a really familiar passage today from James chapter 1. And this is verses 2 through 5. And some of you may have even memorized this at one point in time. But it says this: Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. I know. Sometimes we read that and we want to roll our eyes at that, right? Opportunity. For great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And so if you remember one thing this morning, if you want to take just one thing away, and you just want to forget everything else, remember this. There is a bigger picture, a larger story. There is something greater going on than what we can currently see in our trial. Now, it's a really long main point, but it's so important that you remember that. Because when we're in the middle of our trials, what do we see? Our trials. Exactly. When we're in the middle of a dark time, in the middle of a trial, when something is bringing us pain, all we can see is the source of our pain. And so we have to understand that there is a bigger picture. There's a larger story. God is doing something. Something is happening. And we have to understand that when we're in the middle of it, that there's something greater than just our pain. We touched on this just a little bit last week. When we let our doubts move us to pursue God and embrace hope, what happens is we grow, right? When we push into God during our trials, we grow. When we push into God during our trials, we gain endurance. When we push into God during our hard times, during our painful times, we acquire wisdom. And I just want to tell you, growth and endurance are wisdom are 1,000 times greater than simply a lack of pain, right? Because what we want the pain to go away, pain to go away, pain to go away, and we think that the ultimate blessing that could possibly happen to us in that time is simply for the pain to go away. But God has something bigger, right? Something greater that can only be put in us during a time of pain, during a difficult time. And remember we talked about last week, we said we have a choice. We can medicate ourselves so that we don't experience the pain. We can go drink. We can do things to make us feel a little better in the moment. But what's going to happen then is we're going to rob ourselves of the greater things. We're going to rob ourselves of the endurance. We're going to rob ourselves of the wisdom. We're going to rob ourselves of the growth by medicating ourselves. We don't want to medicate ourselves and just numb the pain. We want to walk with God through it. Why is it that a young person, those of you who have who are parents of teenagers, those of you who have ever been teenagers, I think most of us have been teenagers at one time or another. But you ever notice that a young person, they face a trial, and they just freak out. They just freak out. I remember when I was 16 years old, and my parents were sitting in the back row, and they were so unfair, and so unreasonable, and so evil, because they told me that I had to pay for my own car insurance. And when I was 16, I didn't have endurance, and I wasn't mature, I thought that was the end of the world. Like I have a prayer journal from when I was 16, and I was writing, "Dear God, how could my parents be so unreasonable?" Right? But that was the best thing for me, but I didn't see it. I didn't see it. That was the best thing they could have done for me, and I'm glad that they did, and if I could rewind and do it again, I would do it exactly the same, and I would have them make me pay for my car insurance, right? So young people, a lot of times, they just freak out when pain comes, when tests comes, when trials comes. You ever notice that it's older people who have been through the ringer, so to speak, what happens when a trial comes? It's almost like they take it with stride. And you go, how in the world are they so have so much peace? You know, I remember when I remember talking to Barb the Sunday after her house burned down, and she's like, "God's got it all." And I'm like, "You're on drugs," right? Why? Because Barb's a little seasoned. She's been walking with God for a couple decades, and she just was counting on the goodness of God. She has grown in endurance and growth and in wisdom. And so that's what happens when we walk through trials with our eyes on Jesus, knowing that something bigger is happening, something greater is happening than simply the removal of our pain. All right? And it's because an older person's faith has been tested. They've wrestled with the questions. They have endurance. And they have a deeper trust in God's goodness, right? So you walk through trials and they go, but God is good, but God is good, but God is good, right? And so it's so easy to lose sight of what God can do in us and through us when we're suffering, but we want to hold on. We want to hold on. You will come through on the other side stronger, more compassionate. You'll come through on the other side more wise and more understanding if you keep in mind James chapter 1, right? That there is more going on, especially in the spiritual realm, than you can see from the perspective that you have. Because pain tends to limit our perspective. But we want to gain God's perspective. One of the best things that you can pray when you're going through a painful situation is just, "God, give me your eyes. God, give me your eyes. Just let me see this from your perspective." It's one of the best prayers you can pray when you're going through a hard time. Okay? And so just keep that in mind. And so the next thing is, we are not God. We've got to understand that. We are not God, and we don't know what's best. So God might be up to something that we can't see, that we don't understand. We are not God, and we don't know what's best. We can't know everything. We can't see into other people's hearts. Even when other people are being horrible towards us, we can't see what's in other people's hearts. We can't know all that has come before in history that has brought us to this moment. And we can't see ahead to see how it all unfolds, right? We have a very limited perspective, but you know what? God can. God can see what comes ahead. God sees what came behind. God sees what's in other people's hearts. Okay, we're not God. We don't know what's best, but God does. And he has a greater perspective. You know, we may be begging God for a spouse when God is trying to use our season of singleness to do some important things in us, right? Can I just tell you, when we spend our season of singleness constantly pining for a companion, We're shortchanging God. Right. He's trying to do something in us that, you know, that he can do if we'll just go, you know what, all that doesn't matter. I just want to focus on God during this season. This season of singleness. So, you know, or like, you know, some of us, you know, are begging God for a spouse, or we might be begging God for a financial blessing, and he's trying to teach us trust. And he's trying to teach us simplicity, right? What beautiful things. You know, it's a greater blessing, and it's more valuable to have greater trust in God and to learn to walk in simplicity than it is to get some sort of financial blessing. And so, you know, God knows what's best. Right? He loves us. He's for us. And we trust that he is good. And can I just say this? We trust that God is good even when there's powerful evidence to the contrary. Right? Think about that. Sometimes it seems like all the evidence says that God is not good. And we've got to go, you know what though? Regardless of the evidence, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe, you know what? I'm going to believe his word. Even when his word is contrary to my experience. All right? That's called faith. And that's tough. That really is. We go, God, I believe your word, even when my experience, you know, shows differently, displays differently. And so we have to trust his word and trust him, even when there's powerful evidence to the contrary. And that's hard. And a lot of you rational thinkers out there right now are going, I was buying everything you said up until you said that. All right? That's okay. You can be wrong. That's all right. So the next thing is this, and this is something you may have told your kids, but just accept that life isn't fair. Accept that life isn't fair. I know that sounds kind of like, you know, I don't say that to discourage anybody, and I don't say that to be to make sort of a negative confession, but we have to understand that life isn't fair, because if we're always going around searching for fairness, we're always going to be disappointed. Because it isn't fair. Life just isn't fair. And we have to understand that God never promised anybody an easy life. God's promised to bless us. He's promised his presence. He's made a lot of promises, but God never goes, I promise you an easy life. I promise that everything's going to work out fair for you. You know? In fact, I would go as far to say that God can be pretty unfair in terms of our estimation of fairness. Right? What if God has a higher perspective on fairness? What if God has a higher standard of fairness than we do? You know, we have to understand that, you know, God never promised anybody an easy life, and life is not fair. If you think about it, Jesus' closest friends, the people that walked with Jesus and ate with Jesus and ministered alongside of Jesus, his closest friends, one of them had his eyes burned out and was exiled. Was that fair? He walked with Jesus. In fact, he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And when you look at the pictures of the Last Supper, this is the disciple who had his head on Jesus' chest, who was closest to him. The people, theologians say, was Jesus' best friend, had his eyes burned out and was exiled to an island. That doesn't sound fair, right? I mean, you think about not just, you know, having John having his eyes burned out, but Peter, who was crucified upside down, you know, Peter was crucified. Or, you know, James was impaled with a sword. These were the disciples, the three people that were closest to Jesus, eyes burned out, crucified, and had a sword run through him. So I wouldn't say that's fair. So we have to understand that life is not fair. And if the apostles were treated so unfairly, we shouldn't be shocked when life seems unfair to us. You know, God, that's not fair. That's not fair. Okay, you're right. You know, it may not be fair according to your standard of fairness or my standard of fairness, but we shouldn't be shocked. And life might seem unfair from our viewpoint, but we have to remember that even Jesus endured a punishment. Right? I mean, you think if anybody should walk through life with fairness, it should at least be Jesus. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair what he went through, but what happened? It brought about the greatest victory ever in history, ever, right? That act of unfairness was the most beautiful thing that ever happened in history. And so we have to understand that life is just not always fair. Okay? Not from our viewpoint. But remember that Jesus went through that. And if God were fair according to our standards, we'd all be lost. If God were fair according to our standards, there'd not be a single one of us with a shred of hope in here today. So, life is not fair. The last thing is this. Is that my wife? That is my wife. Oh, now I know we're going to have a Ray and Deborah moment when we get home. It's going to last longer than a half an hour. The last thing is this. The way is through, not out. The way is through, not out. Okay? When you go through a painful, unfair experience holding tightly to Jesus, you can experience a depth of God's grace in a way that is impossible during better moments. The way is through, not out. We touched on that just a couple minutes ago. Life would be great if it was just one mountaintop experience, wouldn't it? Well, it'd be awesome. If life was all just one thing conference, if life was all just one big, you know, just singing the throne room song over and over again, if life was just one big, amazing mountaintop experience after another, it would be very difficult for God to do some of the things that He does through us and can really kind of only go do through us through valley experiences, right? Because it's the valley experiences that God draws us into. You know, when we're not on the mountaintop, it's in the valley experiences where we experience suffering. And it's in the valley we walk through disappointment. In the valley we wonder if we'll ever see the mountaintop again. You ever been through a deep, long valley experience? You're like, will I ever see the mountaintop again? Oh my goodness, you know. We go back and we reminisce about the mountaintop experiences and we miss them and we try to find another church that maybe they're in a mountaintop at the time. You know, some people, you know, we've had people leave here because other churches had a conference and it was so exciting and they just thought it was going to be like that every Sunday. And so they left here to go to that church, you know. And so we seek out these mountaintop experiences, but it's in the valley that God is able to do incredible things in us. You know, it's in the valley where growth happens. It's in the valley where healing takes place. It's in the valley. You know what? There's a reason why farmers plant their crops in the valley and not on the mountaintop. Because not a whole lot of growth happens on the mountaintop. A lot of feel goods happen, a lot of blessing happens, that's great. But growth happens in the valley. Farmers plant their crops in the valley, not on the mountaintop. And that's why God will draw us into the valley and allow us to stay in the valley and not rescue us out of the valley a lot of times, but wants us to go through the valley. That's because growth and healing takes place there. You know, you don't want to be a person who experiences all these mountaintop experiences, but then when troubles come, you blow over at the first wind, at the first rain that comes along, right? And so, you know, that can even be, you know, chasing mountaintop experiences can even be a way of medicating ourselves from the pain. And so, you know, thank God for your valley. You know, when you're in a time where you're just going through this valley and you don't even remember what the mountaintop looks like, thank God for that experience. Thank God that you're going through it. Thank God that He's present with you in a way that He can only be with you in the valley and go through it there. Okay? That's where growth happens. Going through your trial, clinging to God can create a pivot point in your life that can make you a person that's not only more strong and more wise, but also a person that can help others, right? I mean, I want to be of use to others. You know, I think all of us want to be of use to others. And, you know, we don't want to be people who really can't help anybody else because all we have is trite mountaintop cliches. Right? If you ever talk to somebody, you're going through a rough time, and all they have for you is just trite cliches, just kind of these sort of mountaintop cliches. And they talk about things like, you know, the anointing, which is good, that's cool. Or they talk about things like, you know, just real trite things. And I remember one guy, you know, I used to always ask him how he was doing. He'd go, I'm blessed no less than I ain't taking the devil's mess. But that was sort of like his response whenever somebody else was in pain as well. And I remember seeing people in pain and coming to him, and he'd say, well, you know, you're blessed no less, you ain't taking the devil's mess, right? You know what? Can I just tell you something? When you have a miscarriage or you lose your job, and somebody looks at you and says, you're blessed no less and you ain't taking the devil's mess, you just want to smack him upside the head. You know, that's useless. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm speaking out of my own pain. But, you know, that's kind of useless talk. You know, you want to be with somebody who's been through the valley, right? Nobody can help somebody who's in the valley like somebody who's in the valley. Or somebody who's gone through the valley. Somebody who's gotten some depth to their character. Somebody who's experienced some growth. Somebody who's experienced pain. You don't want somebody who's been living in some sort of fantasy land and all he has is trite cliches. And when a storm comes along, it's going to blow them over. Okay? And so part of the valley process, part of what God does in us in the valley is we're able to help other people in the valley. Is we're able to help other people and help bring healing to their lives and through them. And so there's this great quote by C.S. Lewis about this that I want to end with. And he said this, I'm not sure God wants us to be happy. I think he wants us to love and to be loved. But we're like children, thinking our toys will make us happy and the whole world is our nursery. Something must drive us out of the nursery and into the lives of others. And that something is suffering.
That's right.
And when we allow God to use our suffering to grow us and to move us into the suffering of others, you know, one of the things that I love about our camp, and I know I talk about our camp all the time, but it's just one of my favorite things. And we have our camp for abused and neglected foster children. And some of my favorite people that come along to help with camp are people who were foster children because they've walked through that valley. You know, they've experienced healing from that pain. And so I love it when we have volunteers drawn in. In fact, I would venture to guess the majority of our volunteers, would you concur with this, Wendy, that the majority of our volunteers at camp are people who have experienced pain in their lives? Lots of pain, right? I mean, those are usually the people that come along and say, I want to be here for these kids as they've been through some incredible suffering, whether they've been foster children, whether they were abused, whether they just had kind of rough upbringings. In fact, I'd have to say that there's not a ton of people that come along in camp, you know, to help with camp that had it easy most of their lives. It's because our pain and our suffering, when we allow God to work in us and work through us, it sends us out to other people, And so this morning what I want to do is I want to pray. I just kind of felt when I was putting this together just that what many of us need is just a greater sense of trust, right? Because trust allows us to go, okay, God, I trust that there's something greater going on. I trust that through this, you are shaping me and molding me into a person that is more empathetic and more compassionate and stronger. That through this, really, you're making me more like Jesus, right? Now, I can't remember the name of the preacher, but he said that he has grown more from God's discipline than from God's blessings, you know. He's grown more through the valley than the mountaintop. And, you know, we need to learn to trust God when we can't feel him. We need to learn to trust God when there's overwhelming evidence to the contrary. We need to believe in him, even when he doesn't make sense to us. And follow him, even when we're not sure where he's leading us. And so I guess that's kind of where I want to end it this morning, is really just pray for those here today that... that maybe you just need greater trust. You just need greater trust. Because you're not getting your sitcom ending. I'll just tell you that right now. If that's what you're waiting for, it's not going to come. It's going to be more like a soap opera. It's going to drag out, you know. But I just want to pray for you. So why don't we just close our eyes? And I also want to remind you, before I pray, I just want to remind you, we've got a prayer team that's going to be standing in the back, and they want to pray for you too. They want to lay hands on you, put their little hand on your shoulder and pray for you and just love you. But God, I pray, Lord, for every person in this room that needs an extra ounce of trust today. trust, God, that you are good, even when the evidence seems to the contrary. God, to trust that you are working great things in their lives. To trust, God, that though they're in the valley, Lord, and maybe they miss the mountaintop, Lord, to trust that you're doing greater things in them in the valley than you can in the mountaintop. God, I pray that you would put in us, Lord, not just a sense of trust where we're sort of like, you know, white knuckling through it, but that you would, in addition to that sense of trust, God, you would put in us a spirit of gratitude. That we would honestly be able to say, okay, thank you, God, for what you're doing in me. God, we may not be able to understand the trial that brought us here. We may not be able to understand the painful experiences. And we may not even be able to kind of like thank you for them, but we can thank you for the growth that occurs in us through it. We can thank you, God, for your presence with us through it. We can thank you, God, for the valley. Trust. Trust, 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 trust. We thank you, God. Trust, trust. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to bring Wendy up here just for a second. I had a couple of very interesting words, and I want to see if they mean anything to you. But our prayer team, when we were praying, we had one person have just a sort of a word picture, and they felt like they saw Jesus just sort of walking through like a field of grain, and then somebody else had a word picture of or was thinking about God's word, you know, in the Gospels, where after Jesus' resurrection, the first thing he did was you know, make breakfast for his disciples, right? And he had already done everything. Like, he didn't need to do anything else, but he was like, I'm going to make them breakfast too. Yeah, I died for them, but I'm going to make them breakfast too, you know? This is a great picture. And part of that picture, to me, was just sort of like almost like a picture of intimacy, of Jesus wanting to kind of over-bless us, you know, kind of just bring us in and bring us into that relationship. And even though he's done everything, he held nothing back. He's still giving more. And even the picture of Jesus walking through the field is a picture of sustenance, right? He's walking through a field of grain, and he wants to bless us. And so I don't know what that means to some of you specifically. I have a feeling that that at least one person here is going, oh, that speaks to me. But what I want you to do is go ahead and get prayer from our prayer team during our last song. You feeling something, Lotus Ann? Okay.
So I feel like maybe the picture of Jesus walking through the field of grain, person said who saw it, that Jesus was doing it with delight. And what I was getting as Lee was talking was that Jesus was, he's saying that maybe you're here and you're in this place that we've been talking about all morning and you just wonder where he is and what's going on, and that there is this other picture of what he's actually doing. He's actually doing something, but as he was walking through the field and he's showing delight in the growth. And for us, like, we look at a field and you know, if you watch it every day, it feels like it's super slow. But Jesus can see what it's gonna look like when it's done. And that's what I feel like he's saying in that picture, is that he's excited for your growth and where he's taking you. And so just trust him that he's in that. Like, he's right in the middle of it with you. He's in that field with you, and he's excited about where he's going to take you. And he also is with you in your pain. It's not like he's, you know, enjoying it, but he is... yeah, he's taking you to new places and bringing you into new growth, and just know that that's where he's taking you. This is not the end.
Yeah. Amen. And growth happens in the valley, right?
That's right.
So you're in the valley with Jesus. Why don't we go ahead and have the worship team come, and let me pray. And if you need prayer this morning, go ahead and see our prayer team. They're awesome people back there, and they just are incredible prayer warriors. They'd love to pray for you for anything, if you have any prayer need at all. So why don't you go ahead and stand with me? God, we thank you. We thank you that you are with us in the valley. That you are doing something greater in us than we can see when we're in our moment of pain. God, that you are doing something more valuable in us than simply the removal of pain. And so, Lord, this morning we trust you, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, thank you, thank you. I think as we sing this last song, what I want you to do is just thank God for your trial. When we're singing this last song, I just want you to say thanks to God for bringing you into the valley. Say thanks to God for your painful experience. And allow him to work in you. Allow him to bring healing to you. Allow him to bring growth to you. Amen.